Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 30, something or other, because I forgot which number one. I think we're on 38.
Are we? I thought we were on 40.
Are we? Not on 69 yet?
Oh, 69, dudes.
I'll check my files while we do the intro.
Okay, but anyhow, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
And welcome, and well, Barry is...
This is 40.
This is 40.
We're 40 years old. Yay! Yeah, 40.
Okay, cool. Well, it is officially way older than us now. So, all right, let's start off with what we watched this week. I watched a whole two things, so mine's not going to take long. I watched the first episode of the first season of Weeds.
Nice.
Pretty funny stuff, I got to say. It's worth checking out. It's pretty funny. It's not quite my kind of show. I don't think I'll like watch a whole lot of it, but wanted to check it out, and it is, if you're curious, it's... definitely not a waste of your time.
Not into pop smoking soccer moms, no?
You gotta love some pop smoking soccer moms, apparently. Okay.
Well,
we'll just do one at a time.
All right.
Or unless you've got like a huge list like I had last week.
No, just a couple. I finally got around to seeing The Day the Earth Stood Still again because I heard about the remake and I thought, well, I really need to give the original a shot. I hadn't seen it since I was a child. Really enjoyed it. Really loved it. And then I called you and I said, you know what? You know, the message to it is still relevant. The movie still has such a good universal theme. It doesn't feel like it's like heavy-handed at all. I thought it was just a really, really fine science fiction film. And then you tell me how they're thoroughly changing the story for the remake with Keanu Reeves and Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah. Instead of it being, if you don't stop making war, we will destroy you. It's stop destroying the Earth.
So it's another happening film. Yeah.
It's The Happening.
Yeah. Yeah,
so. It's Happy Feet meets The Happening meets I don't know.
And I was excited about it too because I thought, you know what, Keanu Reeves, I can almost see that kind of working. And I like Jennifer Connelly, but hearing that now it's
And we're actually on episode 39.
Are we?
Yeah, we are. We skipped a week. We missed a week.
Oh, that's right. All right, 39.
My bad.
We'll be 40 after 4th of July.
Then. Yes, okay. Yes. Right. Josh, did you see much?
Yeah, this was my Stanley Kubrick week. I watched Full Metal Jacket, which I'd never seen.
What'd you think?
Loved it. I couldn't tell when it was made. It literally looks like it could have been made this year. Mm. So, yeah, it was awesome.
You know, one I have not seen yet. I need to.
It was really, really well done.
I agree with a lot of people on this. What do you think? I always thought the first half, the training part, was the best part. I didn't like the Nam part as much because I think Arlie Ermey and Vincent D'Onofrio are so amazing that the second half, where it's just Matthew Modine's character, it didn't grab me as much as the rest.
And you're not really as connected, but I mean, you're connected to everyone in the recruiting stuff, I think, and not just him. So it's kind of weird that the movie follows him for the rest of the film. But they could have made the whole movie like that and then had the ending be when Arlie Ermey gets shot.
Sure.
And that could have
been... Spoiler.
Sorry. Well, if you...
For a 20-year-old movie.
Well, you know.
Oh, and you haven't seen it. I'm sorry.
Crap.
It's okay. It's not like I said it 15 seconds ago.
Earmuffs. Earmuffs. So...
it's all good.
Yeah.
Okay. What else did you see?
I saw... Oh, and then I watched Clockwork Orange, which
and
I hadn't seen.
What did you think of that?
I didn't like it.
You didn't?
No.
Why didn't you like it?
I just didn't like it.
It's not a happy movie.
No, I don't know. I mean, it was well made, and I understand why people will enjoy it. And
you're not like Alex. Is that the thing?
Yeah, it was just kind of a downer for me. Do you not like it either? Or?
No, I love it. I love it and hate it. This is a movie I'll never own. That's just not gonna happen. But I think it raises a very interesting question of, can you force a man to be good? And from that aspect, I really enjoyed the film.
Yeah.
So I liked it. I would never tell someone not to watch it, but I'd probably give them a fair warning.
And I put off the longest time ahead of like watching it because I got it like on Monday, and I was like, I have to, you know, what kind of mood do you have to be to watch that?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Now you know.
Yeah, I don't know. You like it, don't you?
I think it's brilliant, but like yourself, I've seen it once. I don't know if I'll ever see it again. My father, when it came out, he saw it every night for a week. Because so the first time he saw it with my mother. She walked out and he stayed. But he said every time he stayed and watched it again, there's something else about it that he noticed that he didn't see before. He really feels it's just one of those brilliant, multi-layered, multi-textured films that has so much to say. And it really spoke to my father, not in terms of Alex, but in terms of just the content.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, and that's, I agree with that. I just wouldn't want to watch it over and over.
Oh, I know. It's ugly stuff. And I know a lot of people felt that Natural Born Killers was a similar deal. Like, the movie's hideous, but it says so much. And I never felt that way about Natural Born Killers.
Yeah. It was just
For me, that was just
natural born killers.
Just insult on the senses, honestly.
Yes. And then my other thing I saw was The Prisoner. I watched the pilot episode of the classic
TV
show.
Man. Very good.
That show is like
McGowan.
It's a fine wine of a TV show. It gets better with age.
Have you seen the whole thing?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's great, man.
No, I started on
Netflix.
The last
episode is going to blow your mind.
Yes, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why I saw it, but Blood and Chocolate, the werewolf movie that came out last year.
Really?
Because, you know, I like Agnes Bruckner. She was in The Woods and Blue Car. Good actress, but
How bad?
It is, for werewolf movies, what The Forgotten was for vampire movies. It's just such a piece of garbage. Here's the thing that drove me nuts about it, because, you know, I could almost forgive the lame plot.
Forsaken.
The terrible bad dialogue.
Oh, The Forsaken.
Forsaken,
yeah, I was like,
sorry.
The Forgotten, isn't that?
I'm sorry, yeah, Forsaken, exactly. Yeah, the werewolf transformation, the way they do it, and the whole concept of it is such a dud. It's basically just people just jumping in the air, they morph into a dog and land. That's it.
Yeah, it's a dog, too.
Does it have a thing going?
No, they don't transform or nothing. And you know me, even I would have liked that.
Yeah.
It was just, it was really bad. It was really, really poor.
It looked like it was done on iMovie or something. I mean, it didn't.
Yeah, it's almost like an episode of Dawson's Creek with fur. That's, you know, it was just really bad. It was really, really bad.
So it's going to be like Twilight, but for vampires. Sorry. I went there.
I don't know. Even the trailer to Twilight looks better than Blood and Chocolate, which, by the way, is one of the worst movie titles of all time, Blood and Chocolate.
I remember the trailer was like, Blood and Chocolate. And everyone in the theater was like, what?
This doesn't sound like the kind of movie that's legal in 15 states or something.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, for the curious, she's a werewolf who works in a chocolate shop, hence the title.
Ah.
That's why.
Okay.
So it could have been worse. I mean, you know, she could have worked at a sperm bank.
Blood and semen.
I'm glad you went with the technical term as opposed to where else it could have gone.
Thank you.
Since you watched that, I'll watch Skinwalkers.
Oh, wow.
Because I haven't done that yet.
You know, I want to, just because, you know, Stan Winston is one of the last films that he was involved with. And that's where we saw him at Comic-Con. Yeah. We saw him in front of the Skinwalkers thing.
So I'll do that one.
All right.
Have you got anything else, Barry?
What else?
I'll let you finish yours off and then.
Sure. Perfume.
Oh, I really?
Hate it. Yeah, just seen
it. Hated Perfume. Hated. I loved it until the freaking... ending.
The ending is so outrageous. I'll admit, even that, I'm like, wow, I don't know if I could stick with this movie. But I found the whole movie so hypnotic. It's in terms of visual and in terms of the story. It really grabbed me, even though the whole thing is so twisted and off-putting.
Yeah.
That's another movie. I don't know if I'd ever see it again. But I got to say, I just thought it was so brilliantly made. And I thought that helped me overlook the fact that the story was, you know, not only blatantly ridiculous, but really genuinely sick.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I thought, at the same time, it's the movie I thought Hannibal Rising tried to be and totally failed, I think.
It was a lot better than Hannibal Rising.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'll let you finish off your list, Josh.
I'm trying to think of what else I watched. I watched Saw 1, 2, and 3 again. It was actually ironic because... piece of our news that we're going to talk about today. I found out about that as I was watching.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Okay. Oh, cool. That's the Easter egg.
There you go. Yay.
Okay. Do they still hold up?
Oh, yeah. Bye.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about it with you guys because it gets dirty.
Perfection never changes.
It's not. Those words are not coming out of my mouth.
Okay, then. Well, shall we move on to our unfinished bit of business that Dave slacked on last week, since apparently I was on Prozac or something? Because I should have been posting NPR last week. Yeah. Anyway, we totally spaced reading Ethan's email. I do apologize, sir. Especially with all the stuff he's been putting up with the review.
I really appreciate his email,
too. Lo siento.
Yes. So he said, hey, guys, it's the good old reliable Ethan here to discuss the latest podcast. On the topic of divisive movies, here's a few I would like to mention. I'll just read them off one at a time, and we'll go from there. How's that sound?
Thank you. Yeah.
Starts off with The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a good one.
Yeah, we actually discussed this in detail at lunch this week.
Yeah, we did. We'll have to feature show.
Yes. Well, we're going to be guesting on another podcast here in a couple weeks, and so we can have to get into that discussion. And I can understand why this movie's very divisive, because honestly, mostly, like, I would say 95% of the movie is just a snuff film.
I wouldn't go quite that far, but I think it is genuinely great cinema, but I do agree that the film does go too far at times. At times, I think it goes way too far, but I think there are moments, isolated moments of great cinema, in addition to great storytelling in a movie that is otherwise, you're right, it's just one big thing of violence.
In a way, I really think Mel Gibson missed the entire point of making the movie.
Mm.
That's my opinion.
I'd say more of a missed opportunity than a total miss.
Okay.
Yeah, what do you think?
I haven't seen it, and I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
From everything people have been telling me, it's like, you know, I'd rather watch Saw. I remember the opening weekend I went to go see.
I'd rather watch Jigsaw.
I went to go. No, opening weekend I went to go see that stupid Exorcist: The Beginning instead of The Passion, and I got such crap from my parents. I'm like, you know, I'd rather, if I'm going to sit through snuff, I'd rather see, you know, something that it's not going to affect me as much as seeing, you know, because I just heard it's over the top and graphic. And
it probably was very realistic to how it happened.
And I'll tell you, it's easier to take on the small screen, because I'd say I've liked it so much better seeing it on the small screen. Seeing it opening day, it really was a bit of a
Passion on IMAX.
Well, it was weird because it was Ash Wednesday, I think, the day it opened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there were people like who had these little ash marks all over them as they walked in the theater. So it was a strange environment to see the movie anyway.
Yeah.
But actually seeing it on DVD, you know, on a much smaller screen, you can really appreciate the good aspects of the movie much more so than on the big screen where it's like, I'm so glad this movie's not in 3D.
Yeah. Completely splatter
vision. It's not because it's a religious movie or anything like that. I just don't.
Yeah, oh, sure. It's kind of like me with the 9/11 movies. Just have no desire.
Yeah.
You know. I'm sure I'll see it someday. But.
Yeah. Next on the list is one that I haven't seen, Jarhead.
I liked Jarhead.
I didn't like Jarhead. I thought it was so off-putting.
The Division Begins.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like it. I just thought it was so just completely unpleasant. Performance is terrific, but
really a downer.
Yeah, total downer. I think, and you know what? Maybe I need to see it again because honestly, talk about a military movie with like no military action at all.
Oh, yeah, that's the whole point of the movie.
Exactly. You know, and I think I was expecting an exciting movie. Instead, it's a movie that really puts you into what the soldiers were feeling. And hey, the movie succeeds in that level, but I would never watch it again. It put a bad taste in my mouth. But
okay, next up on the list. Wow, he's got a couple of war movies on here. Thin Red Line,
one of my favorite films of all time. I thought best picture of 10 years ago. Love that film.
And I didn't see it.
I haven't seen it either. I've heard great things about it.
Shame on you guys. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Brilliant movie.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Maybe not.
Next up is Magnolia.
I like Magnolia.
I do too.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the divisiveness comes from Kevin Smith's comments.
What did he say?
Oh, he hated it. He hated it.
I could see how you could.
That's where a lot of the perceived divisiveness,
really?
I think, is.
I think the movie, I think the things about the movie that drive people crazy are kind of evident. I mean, the climax is crazy.
Yes.
The sing-along is crazy. The movie like absolutely says, you know, rules what rules and does whatever the heck it wants. But
I just find it really captivating.
Really? Do you think Smith's
I can think. Well, a lot of people tend to, you know, Kevin Smith's opinion bears a lot of weight.
It's true, it does.
Rightfully so, I think, too. And so overall, I mean, like what he said about Batman, oh my gosh. Yeah, I can't wait to see it now. But, you know, I'm guessing that probably built more into it than there was otherwise, because I don't know a lot of people who didn't like it. I mean, it's one of the few roles of Tom Cruise's that I actually liked him in.
Even though he's a total prick.
Yes.
Well, it's a pretty amazing performance.
It is. Yeah. Respect, never mind.
Well, the final scene he has with his dad, with his father on the deathbed, is pretty incredible. It goes a place there that most actors don't have the nerve or the conviction to go to.
Yeah, very true. So. Very true. So next up, one of my favorite movies of all time, Mission Impossible.
The first one?
Yeah.
Okay. I love the first one.
I know. Yeah.
Love it.
I haven't seen it in so long. I just remember seeing it and being like, what the hell did I just, like, what?
It's such a messy plot. It's funny because it's like it's such a simple plot, but it's presented in such a messy, convoluted, confusing way. I didn't even like the action. Didn't like the train scene at the end.
No.
Didn't like hanging down from Langley. None of those scenes, really.
No, not really.
Why not?
Tom Cruise.
You just don't like Tom Cruise by
default? I really don't.
Okay.
I don't know what it is about him. Like, I'm sure if I met the guy, I'm sure he's a very nice guy. I've heard from people. I know people who have met him and said he was incredibly nice and incredibly generous, in his time and stuff. But I very rarely find something of his that I like him in. I don't know what it is about his demeanor or whatever. But
see,
it's just
I love his like almost all of his movies. I just don't like him as a person.
Likewise, yeah, that's how I am too. I've always loved most of his stuff.
Yeah,
and I didn't think Collateral, Mission Impossible 3 were that great, but.
Yeah, I dug Collateral.
I did.
I loved it because of Jamie Foxx. I didn't quite buy Cruise with that ridiculous gray hair.
With the Russell Crowe hair?
Yeah.
Going back to the Insider.
The two-second cameo that Jason Statham makes. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's right. It's another movie I watched this week was The Insider.
Did you like it?
I love that movie. Cool. I adore that movie.
Cool.
It's the first movie I'd ever noticed running thirds in. That was shot in running thirds, like the entire screen shot up, split. Oh, I thought that was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I loved it. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Move on. The Doors.
Gosh.
What the hell? What's that?
That's about the Doors. Okay. Jim Morrison. That's Val Kilmer's Jim Morrison. Do you like that film, Dave?
I never saw it. I never really cared about the Doors.
Okay. That's a problem, too. Val Kilmer is amazing in the film, and he becomes Jim Morrison, but the movie is so hard to take. I mean, it's 2 hours of him beating up his girlfriend, getting high, getting arrested, getting laid. I mean, it's...
So basically Walk Hard? Sorry, I had to say it.
That's Josh at ScreenGeeks.com.
Yeah,
that's great.
That was a good one. I'm proud of you, sir.
Yeah, parts of it are great, but unless you're a diehard fan, I think a lot of people, even when it came out in theaters, I think most people didn't want to go along with that 2.5 hour ride of this man's self destruction.
Gotcha.
But the good stuff in the movie. Billy Idol's in the movie.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, he's in The Wedding Singer, too.
He is, and that's an amazing performance.
Yes, it is. Get out of the way, Billy Idol.
Billy Idol gets it. I don't know why you don't get it.
Yeah. Okay. Next up. Ooh. This one. Okay. This one sparked a bit of controversy as well as Dogma, speaking of Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Personally, I love the movie.
Great movie. Stupid scenes, I think, to keep it from being his best film.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're like, this is the most evil, most hypocritical, blasphemous movie of all time. His response, it's got a rubber poop monster in it.
Yeah. And I think the rubber poop monster keeps it from being on the level of Chasing Amy. But you know what I think is ridiculous, just to mention this for a second? Stigmata came out at the same time. Why didn't people pick at that movie? That was a piece of garbage. It was saying that everything about the Catholic Church is evil and deceitful. I mean, that movie was just...
Which even if it's... I'm sorry. I was going to make an awful joke there.
Anyway, I thought Stigmata was garbage. Yeah, and I couldn't believe they didn't go after that movie, because Dogma, at its very core, is a sweet, silly comedy.
And I think it really is Smith honestly looking through and trying to work out what his personal faith is.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a very honest and open film, I thought. That's why it's my favorite of his by far.
It's very provocative. I mean, the conversations you can get from the movie are very rich and very diverse.
Yes. I mean, I don't know of anything that was completely out of there. I don't know that God goes to play skeetball at times, but
Or can do a handstand, although I'm sure God could.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
With one finger.
I think a lot of this is the same issue a lot of people had with Last Temptation of Christ. In that the people who had the problem with it never saw it, never going to see it.
Sure.
And I can say that from experience. I got dragged to the protest rally at Universal Studios when I was a kid.
Wow, you went to that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm like in a sixth, fifth or sixth grader, the people who run TBN walk by. I'm like, wow, I'm taller than them. They should be short people. I didn't know what was going on. Now I find out more about the book and about the movie, and it seems like it's a very similar thing. Granted, it's not something it's high on my list to watch, but...
Oh, so you haven't seen Last Temptation?
I have not, but it's just not been high on my priority list. It's not, it's the devil.
No, I would say that about Stigmata. I would not say that about Last Temptation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, and then he finishes up with Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, one of my favorite movies of all time. I love that movie. Thank you, Ethan.
And I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
I think it's one of the most, regardless of, I think most people have a problem because it's not faithful to the book as much as it claims to be, especially because it's Bram Stoker's Dracula. I mean, this whole thing about reincarnation, the movie goes off on a tangent. And, Keanu Reeves is terrible in the movie as Jonathan Harker. As much as I defend Keanu Reeves, he's really bad in the movie. But, whether you like horror movies or not, it's one of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful movies I've ever seen. Everything from the music, the cinematography, the special effects. Gary Oldman, for me, is Dracula. And Anthony Hopkins, I thought, was fantastic. Van Helsing, much better than Hugh Jackman.
No.
I like Aussies.
Who?
He likes Aussies.
Isn't he? He's Australian, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a whole other topic because that movie looks like crap.
Oh, Australia?
Yes. I watched the trailer. I'm like, is this Far and Away too?
Ooh. I like Far and Away.
Ooh.
Because of Tom Cruise.
There you go. Sorry. Complete tangent.
Reincarnation with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you much, Ethan. You gave us a good 10 minutes of content.
Great list, Ethan. Thank you.
You are the man, sir. All right. Let's go ahead and talk about news. I'll just start off with my painful, painful thing. All of us saw Wall-E this week, and there are two parts to this. First of all, we went in early, got there like an hour early to get the seats that we like because we like being able to put our feet up. You know those seats?
Yeah, those are great.
Those are our favorite seats in the world. But they had the Cinemark Kids first look. Which I've determined is to punish people who actually get there early. I am. Because they talked about Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Why? And then I saw it as if that... Okay, it was... stupid, but at least there were real people in it. Is like behind the scenes, I could kind of deal with it.
George Lopez talking about how he became the character.
Yeah, well, you know what? That was high art compared to the trailer that I got to see once the lights went down. What was it? I'll let you.
I said very loudly at the end of the trailer to a very full theater at the Midnight of Wally, why do they make movies like this?
Which everyone started to stand and clap and
all the trailers, crap.
Bolt does not look that bad. Bolt
doesn't look that great.
It looks great. I'll go with great. I want to see Bolt.
Okay, so one of us has to. So
it's cute. I think it looks almost like Meet the Robinsons. It doesn't look like a Pixar kind of movie, but it looks like better than say Hoodwinked or something like that.
And that I think that we'll get into that when we start talking about Wall-E because it's just unfair. It makes everyone else. I think it's the kind of Wall-E's the kind of movie. Just maybe. Briefly. Everyone else should just quit making movies and start over from scratch to make something better.
Well, Pixar sets the bar really high, and you mentioned a really good point, though, the no Up trailer.
Yeah, no.
The new Pixar
movie. Where the hell was that?
Oh, good point.
They
good
always point. Have teaser trailers for the next Pixar film. I was just a little disappointed.
Yeah, we got a teaser trailer for Pink Panther 2, which I got to say, even though I'm looking forward to that movie because I love Steve Martin by default, but even the trailer looks so bad. Like, where is the Up trailer?
See, I think that everyone likes Wall-E so much because the trailers were so god-awful before the film that it was just like, oh! As soon as Wally started.
So. There you go. Yes. So that was my little rant for the week because, you know, amazingly, when we went through Wally, the kids were very well behaved overall. So, yeah.
That's and good. It
was
mine too.
It was like 3:40 in the afternoon, so it was packed. So,
Variety.com verified Bourne Identity 4 is happening. Matt Damon and Tony Gilroy's screenwriter are making it happen. It's going to be out by 2010, the summer of. So,
and who's in it?
Matt Damon.
Thank you, and he did that.
I figured you would appreciate that.
So we got 2 years, and you know, we'll see if it's going to be the Bourne continuation or the Bourne desperation.
Well, apparently Robert Ludlum had nothing to do with the books after the third one, so they're going to try to keep it to that spirit. And I'm like, okay. Matt Damon said he wouldn't do another one unless they had a really great story. The first three were really fun. I enjoyed them a lot, so I'll give it a shot. But I'm not that hopeful.
I hope it's a really radical twist of a story because, I mean, the third one had that key line. I remember everything. That's the whole point of the whole thing. Like, what, is he going to forget everything again?
Yes. And for those of you where my voice just suddenly panned out and sounds really good now, it's because I screwed up on the soundboard. So,
I guess they're doing a 300 prequel. Why are they? Why?
At least it's not a sequel starring Eddie Murphy in The Ghosts of the 300.
I'd see that.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that would then just meet Dave. Okay, sorry. No.
Zack Snyder said he might do it. I mean, I guess.
Frank Miller's working on something.
Yeah. Why? What's it even going to be about? Is it going to follow?
It's going to answer all the questions that.
What questions?
Exactly.
I don't have any.
Yeah.
I thought 300 kind of summed it up for me.
It's going to answer all the questions that Meet the Spartans left behind.
Oh.
So is it called 200 or?
Or 299. I'm sorry.
At least they could keep going with the prequels. There's a lot of opportunities to go backwards there.
It's kind of like 99 bottles of beer on the wall, but it's just Spartans
just keep going.
Spartans living on the battlefield. Yeah. wow. This is evolving quickly. In some sad news that has nothing to do with movies or TV with TV. A comic book artist who's gained a lot of respect over the years, Michael Turner, just recently passed away from a battle with cancer at age 37. And I want to say it because he's the guy who got me back into comics. He and Jeff Loeb wrote a series on Batman Superman where they brought back Supergirl. And his design of her really influenced her, and his design and the character that they created of her really influenced her use in Justice League Unlimited.
Cool.
Which we've been watching, and I love that show. But he was an excellent artist. Everything I've read about him, he's been nothing but a kind guy, and again, very generous with his time. He'll talk to people till whenever, and he will be missed.
That's really sad. 37?
37.
That's too soon.
Yes.
One of my favorite films, talk about a movie that divides audiences, Terrence Malick's film, The New World, with a good performance by Colin Farrell and great performances by Christian Bale and Christopher Plummer, coming on DVD in the extended cut. When the film was released in theaters, Terrence Malick, director, did something for the first time since Kubrick with The Shining. He released the film in theaters, he pulled it out of theaters, took 30 minutes out of it, put it back in the theaters, shorter. This is the full director's extended cut.
Interesting.
I have no idea if this is going to help the movie or if it's going to hurt it. People who hate the movie and are cynical say it's more shots of Indians walking around, more shots of water, more shots of weeds in the wind.
30 minutes of grass blowing.
And you know what?
No, that's the happening director's cut.
Oh.
That's another story. But anyway, this comes out October 14, 2008. I can't wait, but yeah, it could go either way.
Very cool.
Steve Carell signed on for 3 more years of The Office. That is awesome.
And you're doing cartwheels as you walked in the door of this.
Well, you know, I just hope it doesn't turn dry or any. Well, the humor's dry, but I mean, you know, the plot
it doesn't
keeps
dry
going
up.
And yeah. So, but from where the twist was at the, you saw the finale, right, Barry?
Yes.
This season, there's a lot of stuff that they can go with that. So,
oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I can't wait.
There you go. So, okay, cool. And then because apparently they didn't have enough going with Barbarella and whatever else, Robert Rodriguez and Rose McGowan are now going to working on trying to tackle Red Sonja.
I feel like their bedroom fantasies are becoming movies.
Yeah,
you ever get that feeling?
Hey Rose, you want to dress up like yeah?
That would make a good movie, Robert.
Let me put my girlfriend in. Yeah, I don't.
Let's leave it alone. Leave it alone. Bad places. Bad places.
All right, moving on. I guess Warner Brothers was kind of waiting to see what would happen with Get Smart because it wasn't even on the radar for a while. But it's official: Bruce and Lloyd Out of Control. The accompanying, I guess you could say, the accompanying movie to Get Smart is officially coming on DVD
this Tuesday.
This Tuesday, July 1st. But it was actually like even the artwork and the official release date, they were kind of holding on to it to see how Get Smart opened. Of course, it opened huge, so now this thing is
interesting.
Official.
And you've actually seen the trailer, right? Or you
no, I didn't.
Actually looks interesting.
Okay,
so
yeah, we talked about it briefly last week, right? Oh, okay, so now we know more, and knowing is half the battle.
Go, Jim. Would you like to know more? What was that for? Oh, Starship Troopers. What?
Five.
What? Oh,
V.
Oh, Saw. Yeah, Saw poster. I'm like, what? The new Saw poster came out yesterday.
You mean it's not Silence of the Lambs 2? Oh, sorry. Oh, that's right. I went there.
The only thing that I'm going to say... for Saw fans, I don't know if there are any, or if I'm the only one.
Oh, there's lots of fans. You're just in a room with haters.
There's actually a Saw convention that's going to happen in August.
How twisted is that? Are you going?
And well, it's in New York, and they're going to have the whole cast there.
Wow.
And you can, no matter what, you get autographs from Tobin Bell and stuff.
Gee.
And I'd love to go, but I can't afford that. But anyway, the poster, it's cool because it's Jigsaw's face, but it's interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see who's actually underneath that because they left the fourth one open to be a lot of people. So, yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. Wow. So, I'm looking forward to that.
All right, then. Well, not in TV news, but in web show news, I guess. The trailer for Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog came out. And it's goofy. It's stupid. But I want to see more.
Yeah, it looks great.
I mean, actually. Like, it looks low rent. I mean, Meteor Man had a high budget compared to this thing. I mean, looking at Nathan Fillion's outfit, Steph's first reaction was, you know, Nathan must really love Joss Whedon because, yeah. But I want to see it. It looks goofy and stupid. And Neil Patrick Harris is the bad guy. Come on, how do you go wrong? And then the laugh at the end. And so there's that.
Yeah, it looks great. I like the trailer.
Yes, yes.
My last bit of news, have you heard about what's opening up against Saw 5?
Oh, is this the thing that you were keeping a surprise for us?
Yeah, is somebody actually bold enough to go do it?
I want to talk to you about this, yeah. And this could change because...
It's Halloween, too.
No. Thank God, nothing like that. No, it's really interesting, and this could change because this movie has currently had a few problems with the MPAA. We've talked about it, but Zach and Mira is officially opening
October
31st. Zach and Mira Make a Porno is officially... That's the official date at the moment. And like I said, that could change. Kevin Smith could move, but...
That's incredibly genius, I think.
But yeah,
it is. You know what? I was thinking that the other day when I was watching the Saw films. I'm like, no one, you know, I think it's kind of a scared territory. No one wants to try it. But I think if something did open up against Saw, it would do decent because not everyone's going to go see Saw on Halloween.
But now it's like a hard R weekend. I mean, they're really trying to jump into each other's territory. That's a real competition right there.
No kidding. Wow.
When is that stupid Trick or Treat movie never came out?
I know. That looks great. I want to see that. And it's completely off the schedule. Yeah, I thought it looked really cool. The trailer we saw at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
You know, I have like two more news stories, but you bring up the horror stuff. Oh, but it's Josh's turn. So I'm going to
You can go. No, you can go. I think I'm done.
Oh, okay. There's a 3-disc edition coming out of Rob Zombie's Halloween.
I heard about that.
3-disc?
Yeah.
It's like one disc too many, as much as I like that movie.
People are like, I hope it has the work print version on there.
No.
Which you guys saw,
If you want the work print version, just watch the unrated one. That's basically what, except for a couple of scenes.
That's such a bad addition to it.
The thing that's going to be on this, though, is a documentary.
It's like 4.5 hour long documentary.
Kind of the same that he had on the Devil's Rejects disc. So, could be interesting. Wow. I don't know. I might get it only because I was given the unrated version for Christmas, and I freaking hate the unrated version, so...
Is this coming on like Halloween time or?
I don't know that there's a date. Yeah, I think so. Wow. I forget what the date is. It was over at DVD Talk that I found about it. I'll post up something about
That's
it.
That's wild. But,
yes. You got anything else?
Nothing.
You're done too?
I'm done.
Wasn't there something you were going to talk about that... Oh, shoot. I forgot what it was.
Were we going to do the disaster movie?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad we remembered that.
Yes, because that is... Anger.
It's like describing a car wreck you saw.
I think the only thing I can say is, whoever's listening to this, please don't go see it. Stop giving these guys money.
Yes. I might actually watch a superhero movie at some point.
But. Yeah, because it's the Zucker Brothers. I mean, even at their worst, they're still hit and miss. And although I got to say, I think the funniest part of superhero movies, speaking of Tom Cruise, they have it on YouTube, and it's the extended scene where it's a guy who like looks and sounds so much like Tom Cruise doing his impression of the infamous Scientology video. Again, I don't know why I'm owning up to this because I like Tom Cruise, but the scene is on YouTube. And it's so fall down funny.
Is it as good as the Jerry O'Connell
one? It's better than the O'Connell.
Really?
Because he looks so much like him. And the stuff he says is 10 times more outrageous and hysterical.
Okay.
Anyway, I've heard, like, people who've seen the movie say that's not only the best part of the movie, but that the film itself, even though it's hit and miss, it's not as bad as it looks. And I guess, just to make it clear, this is the Zucker Brothers guy who did the Airplane movies and Naked Gun movies. They did Scary Movie 1, 2, 3, and 4. They did not do Date Movie, Epic Movie, Meet the Spartans, or Disaster Movie. So
there you go.
Let's make sure we don't...
All right. And then quickly, because we're... Holy crap. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, are we like an hour yet?
No, we're over a half hour, though. The Hellboy 2 trailer, the new one came out. Pretty decent. It's not a whole lot more that you haven't seen already, but... Get you more excited to see it. Yippee skippy.
You need to see the first one before.
Yes, I do.
You haven't seen the first one.
He's not seen the first one. Can you believe that?
It's pretty fun.
I heard such mixed things about it. I just didn't see it.
I love it. I just, yeah.
It's fun. I think I like the director's cut better.
I actually have not seen the director's cut.
Director's cut's really solid. Sometimes you can pick it up at Ross for like $5, the 3-disc director's cut.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. Every once in a while you'll run into one. Yeah.
Good deal.
Then finally, this is so odd. It's kind of like box office stuff, which means nothing to us as far as financially, but it's fun to keep track of. Apparently, the Dark Knight midnight movie or advance ticket sales are outgrossing the Spider-Man sales, but at the same time, you know, like 3 weeks out, it's got 8 times the number of tickets sold than Spider-Man.
That's awesome.
Holy crap. Spider-Man 3 specifically. Hmm. So, yeah. Wow.
And Spider-Man 3 was last year's top grossing movie.
And why?
Was
we don't know.
It was. Yeah.
Over Transformers, really?
Yep. Yeah, beat it. Considerably. Yeah.
I'm surprised it actually made its money back after how much they spent on that stupid thing. Oh, yeah.
That's why the fourth one's coming soon.
Okay. All right, well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and... Oh, no, we haven't... Shoot.
What have we done?
We haven't done the releases yet. Holy crap. Where are we going to have time for...
Okay. Yeah, do we even have a topic?
Well, we do.
Yeah, we do.
We can just... Let's skip...
Let's save the...
We'll do it after the break.
Yeah,
okay.
Save
it after the break, because we're...
we need a break.
Good God, yeah. Okay, we'll be right back.
Smoke if you got him.
Sue Ellen Greenblatt is a real person, not an internet celebrity. So we've enlisted Billy Flynn and the Vicar to help her tell her story.
Geek Radio Daily gives me geeky news about movies, new DVD releases, even comics and gaming.
Geek Radio Daily makes me feel special.
Ah, yeah.
Womanly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episodes are just 15 minutes, perfect for my commute or for just geeking out while I'm at the office.
Mm. All in one concise love package.
Ooh, the package, baby.
Uh-huh. And the best part is that it's a daily cast, so I'm always in the loop.
Sometimes I listen to it out of the bath, put on little outfits.
Ah!
It makes me want to invite all my friends over to show how refreshed I feel.
Mm, a slumber party, baby.
What? That's not what I said.
Get out the
chocolate mousse.
Duct tape.
Oh, get out of here, you freaks.
Geek Radio Daily. One 15-minute podcast provides 15% of the USDA recommended daily allowance of geeky goodness. Subscribe through iTunes or visit geekradiodaily.com. This is Ray.
Sup?
Let's listen in as Ray hits on Sandra.
Excuse me, miss, but do you know karate? Because your body is kicking.
Now, let's listen to the same scene. Only this time, Ray is sporting a quality Geek Label t-shirt.
Yo, baby, I was wondering,
Damn.
Rejection.
What's up with that?
We can't really stop it.
Damn.
But we can outfit you in buttery smooth designs for geeks, gamers, and tech heads. They're custom t-shirts. They're not magic t-shirts.
Damn.
Another fine product from geeklabel.com.
We love us some Geek Label, as well as GRD. They are two separate entities now, but still, it's all good. You want to just start off with... should we do the DVD releases for this week and then do the theatrical?
Sure.
Okay, let's do this week's DVD releases.
Okay, this week in DVD, Vantage Point, 1 and 2-disc special edition. Why you need a 2-disc special edition for that movie, I don't know.
It's an extended cut, because they actually had to cut 7 people out from their stories.
Not a fan. Meet the Browns, Tyler Perry's new film. Dave's not a fan. He hasn't even seen the movie.
I haven't seen the movie, it's funnier to say flush the Browns. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, you know, I understand Madea is in this one, and that's one of the weak points of that film, even though it's got Angela Bassett.
Otherwise, I've heard it's actually pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. I like Tyler Perry. My Blueberry Nights, the new film by Wong Kar-wai with Natalie Portman and a lot of other cool people. Robert Taylor in R-rated and unrated special edition. I've heard bad things about this movie, but I really want to see it. Batman the Movie. This is with Adam West and Burt Ward.
With the sacrificial dolphin.
That's right. By Flipper. And then Bruce and Lloyd, Out of Control, the aforementioned Get Smart, what do we call this? Prequel?
Spinoff.
There you go.
Yeah, because Patrick Warburton's in it too. And
that's right.
So we go from there. And then, okay, this week's, we'll get to the actual topic title. Let's do the theatrical releases so we can talk about the other one
first.
Release,
you've got Wanted with Angelina Jolie, and then
That was pretty good.
Was pretty good, because there's a lot of people in the theater trying to do that, and I'm like, would you stop, please?
It's cute when it's like the 6-year-olds, Wally!
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like a 45-year-old basement person, you know. It's just kind of like
Wally.
It's like comic book guy. It's like the people in Wally trying to say that, you know. Okay, so let's talk about Wanted first.
Yeah,
because I haven't seen it, so I have nothing to say.
Well, both of our reviews are online.
Yeah,
that's right. I haven't posted yours yet. I'll post it up.
Oh, thank you.
The show
thank
too.
You,
yeah,
you know, I think we kind of feel the same about it. I think I liked it a little bit more than you did.
Yeah, I thought better than Shoot 'Em Up, but so much.
Nothing touches Shoot 'Em Up.
It was so much like The Matrix to me. You know, like instead of Lawrence Fishburne, you got Morgan Freeman. Instead of Carrie Ann Moss, you got Angelina Jolie. Instead of this cyber community, you've got the fraternity called the Fraternity.
The frat party.
Yes.
You know what I didn't write about in my review, but I hated about the movie was the way that they picked people to kill made absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah. Looking in the thread.
Yeah. There was like a big sewing machine, and they looked at the string, and then it gave him Morse code to how to pick up. That made absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
But I thought it was just popcorn fun.
And what's the deal with you could be restored from being shot or murdered by laying in hot wax that dries? Yeah. There's a lot about this.
Becoming a literal wicker man. It's like, right. What? But the action scenes are phenomenal.
Yeah. There's a scene on a train that is really one of the most amazing things I've seen in a long time. Never seen anything like it, for that matter.
But it doesn't do anything to redefine the genre or anything like that.
No. For me, it was like Swordfish. It was another Swordfish. It was very well done. It was exciting, ouch, whatever, but not original. I didn't think the acting was that special considering the cast. And yeah.
Okay. And then we've got Wally. Let's do our topic and we'll get to Wally.
Okay.
Okay.
What is our topic this week, sir?
Pixar Flixars.
Because that's how creative we are.
It was a slow day.
Like 6 months ago, and we haven't had a better idea since.
That's right.
Well, shall we start with the history and just that one kind of moment?
Yeah, no kidding. As most people know, the special effects company that eventually became Pixar was owned by a certain G. Lucas. Wonder who that could be.
The Flannel Jedi.
That's right. And it was after the box office disaster of both Labyrinth and Howard the Duck back in 1986 that Lucasfilm was all of a sudden in trouble, particularly because of Howard the Duck. So he had to sell off the rights of this company to an individual, very, very well-known entrepreneur by the name of Steve Jobs. And Jobs took it and made it into Pixar while Lucas continued to work on his Tolkien ripoff named Willow.
Oh, dang.
Which I like Willow. I love Willow, but let's face it, the movie is Lord of the Rings with Val Kilmer.
Wow. Okay, then.
Completely. I'm so sorry. I completely derailed the topic.
And Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
And then you can digitize him, and then you can... Oh, wait, no, that's the skit. Sorry. Okay. So where does does Pixar's, in its current incarnation, where does it begin at? Was it with Jerry's Move?
I think you're right. And The Adventures of Wally B, the one about the guy who distracts the bee, which came out, I think, in 85.
Okay.
So they started with these short films.
Oh, I remember that, I think.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, and then now they've got the DVD with all the Pixar films, which is fantastic.
Which, like, it by the time this comes out, you'll have like 6 or 7 hours left. If you want to buy it at the deep discount sale, you should do it, because I put up a crap load of ideas for people to spend all kinds of money. It's fun to do. I know. I was thinking of you. I'm like, Josh is going to hate me for putting this up.
No, curse you.
So, okay. Yeah. And then?
Well, it starts off with Toy Story in 1995. Yeah, I guess let's go down the list really quick. 95 was Toy Story. 98 was Bug's Life, followed up by Toy Story 2 in 1999. Monsters, Inc., 2001. What else? Finding Nemo, 2003. The Incredibles, 2004. Cars, 2005. Last year's Ratatouille, and this year's Wall-E.
That's a heck of a track run. Yeah.
Let's start. What are your least favorite Pixar movies?
Cars.
Yeah.
Has to be.
You know, I haven't even seen it yet.
You haven't?
Barry was saying I need to see it, but I just haven't had time. Because,
you know, I told you, it's not a waste of your time. It's not like seeing Meet the Spartans just for kicks, you know. It's not a great movie, but it's not terrible.
Yeah, it just felt like Doc Hollywood. Isn't that that movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just a total, but with cars.
With cars.
So, there you go.
And I saw Doc Hollywood.
I like Doc Hollywood.
Okay.
Probably would be my second least favorite.
I need to see it again after having seen Seven Samurai, just to get that context.
Sure.
But yeah, that'd probably be my next. I probably followed very closely by Finding Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't like Finding Nemo that much?
Not as much. Well, this is all relative.
Okay, that's true. Like, even a bad Pixar movie is like miles above.
I mean, the people who are writing, you know, disaster movie wish they could, you know, get a whiff of the turd that these guys put off. You know, I mean, am I wrong in the slightest?
It's just an interesting visual.
Yeah, okay. Well, I wasn't going for the visual, but yeah.
I think what I love about all their movies is their plots are so simple that you basically know the whole movie as soon as, like, within 5 minutes. But you just get to sit there and watch everything unfold.
And there actually is something to unfold as opposed to putting in filler.
Right.
And that's what's amazing about a Pixar film.
Yeah.
The Incredibles is probably my favorite. I don't know. Beyond that, the rest of them are all really darn close.
I really loved Ratatouille, though. Lester's Ratatouille.
Yeah, well, it's Brad Bird again. You know, and that's the other thing. They get extremely talented people behind these movies, too, who have a knack for storytelling.
Yeah, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yes, because then you have Flushed Away and, yeah.
What's your guys' favorite, like, Pixar character?
Ooh.
I have to look at the list.
Let me look at my list. I really loved Steve Buscemi's bad guy in Monsters, Inc. The lizard. I love the con because he was such a scumbag, and you know, and it was perfect having him do the voice of it. And just the whole concept of him. That was one of the true villains, and I'm like, I hate this guy. I really hate this guy.
Billy Crystal was really good in it too.
Yeah,
this is Mike Wazowski. Yeah,
yeah. I think that's my favorite Pixar movie, but I still honestly I think the best one, just because I think it's so perfect, is the original Toy Story. I think
that's true.
I just think you can't go wrong there. That movie is perfect.
Yes,
and they set the bar so high, and nothing else come close. But yeah, you know, I got to say about the Incredibles. I remember Marty made a really good point. He saw it before I did. And he said, you know, like, it's the longest Pixar movie, but he's like, man, I loved it. Because, like, the characters have time to breathe. The story has time to develop. I mean, it's like, it really is a great comic book movie. And it's comparable to Iron Man in that sense.
Yes.
It's not about the action. The action is incredible. It's all about these people that you really like.
Yes. Although, you know, I have to see it a couple more times, but I think that number one spot's been taken over. I really loved Wall-E. I freaking adored one.
Well, you've already seen it twice now.
Yeah, I've already seen it twice.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah, that's a lot.
In a 24-hour period, too.
Was it worse?
It was better the second time. Wow. I actually thought it was better the second time.
It just seems like there's so much to take in. Like, even I told Jules, I need to see it again because there's so much. Yeah. And the story is so crazy.
I love the fact that they essentially make part of it One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
I mean, it became pretty hard sci-fi. Okay, do we want... Let's leave that alone. Do we want to talk anything more about Pixar? Just its rules. Again, this is Pixar sets the gold standard for. It's not even necessary animated storytelling. It's pretty much for storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do things that. I mean, how many live action movies pull off what any of these movies do?
Yeah. Well, I didn't like Toy Story 2, and I'm not excited about Toy Story 3. To tell you the truth,
didn't like Toy Story 2, or you didn't. I'm curious. No, I've not. No.
Let me think about how to word this. I saw it once, had no desire to see it again. And for me, the magic was with the first movie. And all the good parts of it were, to me, like a reflection of what happened in the first movie. My favorite part of Toy Story 2 is the opening scene where you get those little green aliens running around. But otherwise, like the whole thing about like the female counterpart to Woody.
Yeah.
Jesse.
Not bad. And certainly not like Shrek 2 or 3. God forbid, but I mean, you know, it didn't stay with me the way, even like Bug's Life, which I honestly like the ants better, but I thought Bug's Life, it captivated me. For me, Toy Story 2 was more the same, only not as fresh. And I, you know, as much as I would love to hear, you know, Hanks and Alan do those characters again, I'm not that excited about it.
So is Pixar doing Toy Story 3?
It's official, yeah, it's definitely
happening. It was being scrapped as soon as John Lasseter and Steve Jobs came on until they came up with the story from the Pixar in-house development. Okay. As opposed to Disney just saying, hey, we're going to put out crappy sequel number 53,000.
Yeah, because even Toy Story 2, they rescued from that, because Toy Story 2 was supposed to be direct-to-video. And then they said, well, actually, we got a really great story here. We're going to – let's really amp it up and make it something special instead of, you know, Bambi 2.
Which Bambi 2? Which Bambi 2?
There's a few of those now, aren't there?
The one with Godzilla is my favorite.
That's the best one.
Yeah. There's a Bambi with Godzilla?
Yeah, it's Bambi versus Godzilla. Yeah. Bambi's prancing through a meadow, and then wham! Like it steps on him.
It's about a one-minute-long animated short. You need to see it. It's one of the best animated films ever.
It is funny. All right, shall we move on to WALL-E?
Sure.
Holy crap.
Yeah, amazing.
Quite possibly the most adorable movie ever made.
Hmm. See, I got you called me yesterday and left me that voicemail message about all you were like, oh my God, WALL-E is awesome. And then that was like basically it.
Yeah.
I saw it at midnight and I got out at like freaking 2:30 and I had no one to call.
Oh.
I was like, no.
Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Wow. Yeah. Seriously, words escape me as to how good this movie was, I thought. Do we want to talk about the bad first? Because I know you guys had a couple nitpicks.
Yeah, we both agree. I didn't like the live action stuff at all. To me, it took away from the animation. I love Fred Willard, but
Fred Willard's the conqueror of the earth.
And that's great casting.
How screwed up is the world when it...
I mean, it's got Fred Willard in charge. But great casting, but I thought, you know, did they just run out of time to do that animation? I just thought it really clashed with the other live action characters. For me, it did. It took me out of the movie. All of a sudden, like, oh, it's live action.
And it wasn't something that was... like necessarily constant either, except for they had the ads at the beginning of the people like waving at the spaceships and stuff. But it felt like what I told you is I feel like all the Pixar movies kind of exist in the same space.
Right.
That took it out of WALL-E out of that space.
And you could argue for it and say that, well, it's such a different point in time. So many years have gone by that obviously the human race looks so different from the way we used to.
Try to explain it.
And I think that they tried explaining that through the pictures of the captains on the wall,
yeah,
right. Obviously, and the evolution that mankind went through, but it's still...
It can't take you out of the movie, absolutely. I thought it as the Idiocracy moment of the movie, because I'm like, Fred Willard is the ruler of the earth.
Yeah.
I love Fred Willard. He's a genius, but, you know, if he gets elected president, we're boned.
Well, the star of Bedtime for Bonzo was once our president.
You know. Yeah, but...
Yeah, say what you will about Reagan. That's not a good movie.
So, yeah, I really dug that portion of it, but I can see how that can take people out of it. Yeah. Is that, like, the main...
That was it, and I've the first time I thought that the political message of the movie was kind of beating a dead horse, I feel, just with the happening, and it's just like, you know, we're getting all the... I'm sorry to compare it to the happening, but I'm saying
and
we're getting beaten over the head, with all that, and so I was just like, really, you have to go there? But then the second time, it really is just kind of a take it or leave it.
It is. It's not saying this. The world is screwed, and this is what we must do. Yeah. It's here's something to think about.
Yeah, for me, it was done in I felt like it was done in a non-political way, which I thought was as opposed to Happy Feet, where I really felt like the little penguin was smacking my face with his flippers.
Was it them or was it the UN having a freaking debate in a kids movie? Okay, I'm leaving it alone now.
There was a live action in Happy Feet too, right?
Yes.
Yes, there was.
Okay, so. Did you think that the live action
totally different issues because the humans in Happy Feet were consistently human the entire way through?
Oh,
so not even really comparable. The message was far differently. I think honestly, Steph brought this up. Isn't it kind of weird to have a huge mega conglomeration making a movie against mega conglomerations?
Oh, the irony!
Yes, taking a giant stab at Walmart.
Hmm.
But besides that, like I said, I've seen the movie twice and I absolutely loved it. So
I can't wait to see it again. I loved all the supporting characters. I love the fact that it pretty much is a silent film.
Yeah,
that's an extremely gutsy thing to do, especially with the ADD riddled kids that we have these days, are they really going to stick with this? And I was really surprised to see how much the kids stuck with it.
Yeah. And yeah. I think kids would be very enchanted by the film. Initially, I had a problem with all of the overtly humorous scenes at the beginning of the film. I think this is probably just to keep the kids watching or keep them attached. But when you see the flashback of Wally, you know, the whole thing with the umbrella
with the security cam, yes.
Yeah, like initially when those scenes came out, like they're funny, but like they're kind of clashing with the otherwise very serious tone of the movie. But when you see them the second time, they're so heartfelt and so yes. beautiful. And it's like this love story all of a sudden has this credence, yes. this merit, rather.
Oh, yeah. I walked out and I couldn't think of another movie I liked better this year.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised by that because I love Pixar. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, Ratatouille didn't make my list. You know, I didn't see Cars, didn't care to. This is gunning for the, you know, I mean, for all that it means for, you know, people who make lists. That's really the way that a lot of people judge by our movie taste. So I think it's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
But I thought, I don't know, the heart in that movie is, I think it surpasses the heart of every single other Pixar movie yet, and I'm not sure how. It's just, sometimes less is more, and in case this case is dialogue.
Well, it could be because we're geeks and we love robots so much.
There is that.
Which was your favorite robot besides Wally?
Oh, man. You know, there's so many to choose from.
I really liked Mo.
Yeah, that's so what I was going to go with. Yeah, the little cleaner robot with the brush.
Love the cleaner robot, man.
Yeah, I like the giant Wallys. I liked Eve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Eve was awesome.
She was, yeah, she kicked butt. I even liked the number one. You know the steering robot.
Oh yeah, that was so cool.
Really well done.
Yeah. Isn't it weird that Sigourney Weaver did the voice?
Really?
Oh, she's the voice of the ship. Isn't that something? Like I watched the end credits and like I guess they modified it. Yeah,
because it sounded like a guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, she's the voice like when they're like robot.
You okay. Know, yeah. That's her. Okay. Too. Not the.
Yeah. I don't. She was the steering wheel too.
No. She was the steering wheel too.
No. She was just. As far as I know, I thought she was just
like the ship's voice, like the Maisel Barrett and Star Trek type thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they could have digitally did that to her voice though.
I don't know. I need to look at the credits
yeah,
again.
Yeah. What did you think about inserting the human element? Because we knew that there was going to be a glimpse of it at least from the trailer, but you know, little did we know the trailer was all going to be from like the first 45 minutes of the movie.
This film has the strangest, weirdest depiction of the future since Demolition Man. I think it's mm-hmm. so crazy and yet so scarily plausible.
Yes, we have a track.
I freaking loved it. And initially, when I saw a bunch of heavy human beings, I thought, oh great, an easy fat
a bunch
joke.
Of Peters.
Yeah, but instead
from Family Guy. That's the first thing I thought.
Sure, but instead of like it just being like a feature length fat joke, it's like no, this is this is what. What we're going to look like if we spend our lives in chairs eating and drinking Slurpees and eating pizza. That's just, I thought it's making an interesting comment about consumerism and, our fast food diet as yeah. it was, instead of it just being like, an opportunity for a fart joke or something like that. It was yeah. actually really smart and clever what they did with it.
Well, has Pixar ever gone down that level of just fart, poop, and potty humor?
They've done burp jokes.
Yeah.
In Monsters, Inc.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But
when Mike was trying to get the kid to laugh and he swallows the mic and... Yeah.
Right. But yeah, otherwise, no. No.
Not really, no. Because most of the characters haven't had the anatomy to do so, shall we say?
Yes, thankfully.
No, I take that back. There was a fart joke in Finding Nemo. Remember the two birds sitting on the water and the bubble came up?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Sorry.
That's okay. Do we want to talk any more about Wally, or is there more you want to cover? Or, I mean, everyone needs to see this movie.
Go see it, yeah.
I got to say, the last thing I have to say is I didn't think I'd get emotionally attached to this character.
Yes.
And then, no spoilers at all, but man, the ending, I found that devastating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people around me were bawling, and I was like, I could see that.
Oh, Steph, she was clutched onto my arm. Her eyes were doing, like, the whole,
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Watering up thing.
It's heartbreaking stuff. It really is. And it's like, even, like, either way the scene goes, it's like, how daring. To like even suggest this is an option.
This could happen.
But yeah, like how devastating is that? I mean, it's strong stuff, really.
Yes, truly powerful stuff.
Getting choked up even.
Should we talk about Presto as well?
Yeah.
Oh, Presto was great.
Presto was hilarious.
Yeah.
That was the closest thing to a Warner Brothers cartoon we've seen in how many years?
Yeah.
I mean, a Looney Tunes Warner Brothers,
Yeah.
That was...
Yeah, and once again, a character and story first and foremost, and that's why it works. That's why all those, Boundin', all those have always been so good.
Boundin' kind of hurt my brain, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love Boundin'. And the one with the birds, that's my favorite. The ones with the birds on wire, that's
birds are the best, yes. Yeah. Yes, but yeah, I honestly, it's like I look at Presto even. Let's even put Wally aside. I look at Presto, mm-hmm. and I look at the rest of the crap that's coming out. all of you need to quit and go back to the drawing board and actually, I mean, the concept is that the more someone steps up their game, the more everyone else should have to step up their game.
Right.
And it's not
it's
happening.
It's going the opposite way.
I mean, I hear Kung Fu Panda's good, so that's something that's good, but yeah. How many CG animated films are going the exact opposite direction? I mean, now granted, looking at the budget, it cost $180 million, but I think it was worth every freaking penny.
Sure, sure.
So that's one of the more frustrating things I can have coming out of WALL-E, is that you see something of that caliber of quality, something that is a truly good sci-fi human story that's also like a silent film for half the film. I mean, when he gets on the ship, I'm like, well, it can't have been that long. It's been an hour? No way.
Yeah.
You compare that to Madagascar 2? Come on.
Well, you said it, Dave. It's not even the animation. Because, I mean, like, there was a movie that came out a couple years ago called Valiant. The animation was definitely on the caliber of WALL-E. I'd go as far to say. But the story stunk. The characters were forgettable. And the movie was totally forgettable.
Exactly. No one's stepping up their game. They're trying to work on the technical aspect. But the part that actually matters, they don't care.
And they're not taking chances. I mean, you know, WALL-E takes a lot of chances, and they all completely pay off. The Incredibles took a lot of chances. That's a very story-heavy, character-heavy movie. There's not a lot of action in that movie, really. But, you know, it took its time, took a real chance. I mean, Toy Story, I mean, that film could have been a total disaster. Who wants to watch dolls and action figures for 90 minutes? But it's beautiful. It works. And it's all because of character and plot, which a lot of these other movies, like, you know, as much as I liked moments of something like I liked moments of Hoodwinked, and I thought the original Shrek actually had some terrific moments in it. But on the caliber of Pixar, no way.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the fun. I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, but I felt like, you know, being married and whatever. I mean, I don't know, a guy who doesn't feel like he's married up. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm WALL-E, and yeah, she's Eve, because, you know, clunky hello, and then, you know, you got the perfect woman. And yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's so much that's, I mean, seriously, like.
Yeah. Well, even like the scene where he's their first date, when he's showing her room, like, boy, if I had dates like that where my girlfriend's just like breaking all my toys. Yeah, no, I totally felt that way.
So, yes, I can't think of anyone I would say to not see it unless you don't have a soul.
Well, you know what? Here's another
thing.
Demon,
avoid this movie.
Here's another thing I thought of too. I was telling Jules, like, this is, because I remember I've talked to parents who said, like, they thought parts of Finding Nemo were too scary or parts of Incredible too scary. Not with this movie.
No.
Not a single moment I would say too intense for children. I think children just be, for me, it'll be like the equivalent of when I saw Star Wars the first time as a little kid. This is a film that you're just in awe of. It is that amazing.
Yeah. Go see the movie now.
Dave just left.
I'm actually on my cell phone now. I'm going to get back in line to go see it again. All right, let's go ahead and talk about what's hitting theaters this week, because we're coming up on an hour. So.
Okay. This week, Hancock, starring Will Smith. The Wackness with Ben Kingsley, and opening up wider, because they really needed that, Kit Kittredge, An American Girl, which I've heard is a good, wholesome family film.
Okay.
But is it WALL-E? I don't know.
That's the thing. Is any movie going to be WALL-E this year? I mean,
probably not, no.
The Dark Knight really has a good shot at being...
Dark Knight.
Is getting incredible word of mouth. So, but
it's being compared to Godfather 2.
By several people.
Yeah.
I'm going to lower my expectations.
I know.
Because everyone was like, Spider-Man 2 is like the greatest of all films. You know,
well, so. I let my expectations go up for WALL-E, and WALL-E's still a blunder.
Yeah, WALL-E, I had high expectations for.
Yeah. So, all right, let's, okay, so we got the theatricals. You've seen one of these movies, but you can't talk about it yet, or can you?
I think as long as I stay away from the spoilers and say very little about the film, but I thought Hancock was disappointing.
Fist Wiener.
What's that?
Could be the ultimate title. Fist Wiener instead of Hancock. Sorry, I just kind of came out of nowhere.
So glad it went
I had to do it.
And now
I was
just
playing
Seed
the other day, and I was.
Gotcha.
Okay.
On 360 or just regular?
Just on
the DVD.
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice.
And when we were talking on Thursday, you said that you thought it felt like a best hits or like.
Yeah, it's barely 90 minutes long, and it just feels like the best parts got cut out, or the parts that illuminate the characters and actually justify the huge twists and story plot. The movie's all over the place, and that includes Smith's performance. There are parts of it where he is terrific, and there are parts where I felt like he wasn't trying hard enough or trying too hard. It's just, to me, it's such a mixed bag. And there's stuff in it that's great. There are great scenes, and Jason Bateman gives a very winning performance. But and it's not Wild Wild West. It's not a bad film. It really isn't.
No Giant Spider?
No Giant Spider, thank goodness. But
Is the action good, though? I mean...
There's so much special effects. And there are times where I felt like there was just kind of a CGI overload at times.
Is there like a rape scene still and all that?
Oh. Nothing like that, no.
Well, it was statutory rape, which is a little bit different. But still, yes, not that great.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of, I'll ask you the question again, even though I asked you at lunch. You know, we talked about the Hulk and how we'd like to see the extra 20 minutes or so just to see if a good movie becomes even better.
Yeah.
Is this to see a disappointing movie become decent? That you'd like to see the what was cut out?
Hopefully. You know, yeah. I really would like to see a 2-hour cut of this movie. I really do. And I think it would really help. And I think, I really don't know what audiences are going to think of it because unlike Wall-E, this is a PG-13 movie that really pushes it. In terms of language, the language in the movie is really off the charts. It's so an R. I don't know how this movie got a PG-13. And the character is so off-putting at times. And it's not just and Smith does a good job, but there are times where you really hate this guy. And it's such a frustrating movie because you could kind of see the good movie trying to get out of there, but then it just goes by so quickly and it feels like a highlight reel. It really does. So yeah, to answer your question, definitely. I would really like to see the 2-hour cut of this movie.
Cool. Okay. I don't want to get you any more spoilers. Hopefully your review will be up over at MauiTime.com. We'll see.
Maybe. We'll see. Yeah. Maybe not this week. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. But let's talk about DVDs because there's a crap load coming out and some really good stuff too.
Yeah. Well, Jet Li's Fearless. Opening up in the unrated director's cut that's coming out.
Yes.
The Mummy and The Mummy Returns, 2-disc special edition.
Because, and let me guess, there's footage from The Mummy 3. But
we'll have a ticket, though. We'll have a ticket.
I think The Mummy 3 does not look that bad.
Me too.
It's been getting a lot of good buzz.
Oh, really?
Really?
Wow, not just us.
I've been reading quite a bit. They had a bunch of reviews go up. They had quite a few reviews go up over at AintItCool.com.
Yeah, but that's AintItCool. Can you trust them?
Still. Well, no, it wasn't from their guys. It was just random ones that
people sent. Oh, okay, cool.
And depending on who it is, it ain't it cool.
The originals were dumb fun. If it's on that level, so be it.
Yes.
A movie that I can't quite say was dumb fun, but definitely dumb. Van Helsing, the 2-disc collector's edition. Man, I love the first 10 minutes of that movie. Yeah. I love it. And then everything else, not so much.
I'm guessing this is the first 2-disc of the 3-disc ultimate edition that they put out when the movie came out. Because the third disc just had Batman. What the? It had Dracula, Frankenstein, and the Wolfman movies.
Yeah.
On the third disc. So.
Yeah, those are great discs, right?
Yes.
There.
Yes.
Batman, Gotham Knight, 1- and 2-disc special edition. Thank you. That looks incredible.
Thank you, sir.
It's your fault for getting me hooked on it because you've loaned me the Justice League DVD.
And
it had the trailer attached. Like, man, does that look incredible?
It looks like the Animatrix, but for Batman.
Yeah.
Kinda, that's probably the best way to look at it.
Absolutely. Speaking of Batman, Batman Begins, the limited edition gift set. Oh, my gosh.
So, okay, I've got. Oh goodness, let me pull up.
Do you want to?
Do you have the outline in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead and read off the special features I got on Blu-ray, and I'll talk about what's on the DVD.
Okay, this has movie cache for The Dark Knight, a 32-page exclusive Dark Knight prologue book, a 16-page comic book of the first 6 minutes of The Dark Knight, which I think is the bank robbery.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Batman Begins. Lenticular.
Lenticular.
What's that?
Like the little, like you change it and it changes what the picture is.
Oh, it moves, yeah.
And then also a five collectible postcards. So that is a lot.
On Amazon right now, $33.95. That's so very freaking reasonable.
It's a lot for your money.
And then the DVD version, hang on, I'm pulling it up. The DVD version is like really cheap too. It's like $29, I want to say, $28.95, I believe. Come on, there, it's $28.99. But it comes with the 2-disc version of Batman Begins. It has a third disc with a 2-minute preview of Dark Knight. It has movie cache to see the Dark Knight in theaters. It comes with a 128-meg Batman flash drive, including 18 images from the Dark Knight. It also has a lenticular cover, and it has 5 collectible Batman postcards. So they're really kind of going all out on these sets, which I like. I'm hoping we get better sets coming out, kind of like what they get overseas.
So, exactly.
Yeah. Grindhouse, please.
Kimberly Pierce's first movie since Boys Don't Cry, Stop Loss at Ryan Phillippe, box office bomb that got some good reviews. Who knows? The aforementioned superhero movie, like we said before, the only thing you need to know about it, from David Zucker, the guy who did Airplane, not from the epic movie guys. The Ruins, R-rated and the unrated version.
What was Josh calling it earlier?
The Runs.
Okay, yeah.
I have not seen it, so I actually want to see it too.
That's
so.
A great alternative.
Funny to say.
One of my favorite shows growing up, Jake and the Fat Man, William Conrad.
Yes!
Season 1.
Season 1, Volume 1, which I hate when they do this.
Oh, that's what they do with He-Man. I hate that crap.
Now, there's a couple possibilities here. It's possible that the first quote-unquote season was a lot longer than 22 episodes or 24 episodes, so they had to split it up. More likely than not, it's probably a cash grab, which kind of pisses me off.
That stinks. I hate it when they do that.
Yeah.
The Mummy, Universal Legacy Series. So this is Boris Karloff as the Mummy.
This is the Boris Karloff film. I gave Josh the Universal Legacy versions.
Dracula and Frankenstein.
Have you watched those yet?
No, I have not. And it's already got my list of crap just keeps getting longer and longer and longer.
I know.
But they're on my shelf.
They're amazing sets. They're well worth picking up.
Yeah.
And is that it?
That's it.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess that'll take care of that and stuff. I don't know. Do we have any closing remarks?
Go see Wally.
See Wally.
Why would you do that? Yeah, I don't know. What's funny was everyone... Did you think he was saying Eva, or was he saying Eve?
I think he was saying Eva.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me.
I thought it was Eve. Huh.
That is her name.
Well, because she said it twice to him, and she kind of sounded it out like that to him, I think, the second time. So that's why he was like, Eva.
Yeah. So, okay. If you want to shoot us an email, by all means do. You can hit us over at podcast@screengeeks.com. You can email us individually. Barry, Josh, Dave... Ethan, whoever at screengeeks.com. I still haven't made the whoever account, but I need to. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, by all means do. You can give us a call at 719-387-1804. If you have Skype, you can actually just pop up my username. It's David Minkus. It's actually on the contact us page over at screengeeks.com. You'll get to our voicemail just the same. You can just leave us a message. It saves you long distance bills. All that fun stuff. And we now have links at the top of our page to our Twitter page and to the RSS feed for the podcast.
You said Twitter.
I did. I'm hooked on Twitter. I got to admit it. Oh, did you guys see the photorealistic guy that I put up?
Yeah that was incredible. That was
cool. Oh my gosh.
That was chillingly good.
Yeah, Mark Lucci put that up and that's where I got it from, was at Twitter. So,
wow, thank you, Mark.
Follow us. Let us know stuff that's going on, whatever. And I don't know. I got nothing else. And it's not like we're over an hour or anything. So until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Take it easy.
Happy 4th.